wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
You'll never give me a fair shake. You know that?
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
You'll never give me a fair shake. You know that?
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
You'll never give me a fair shake. You know that?
I'm the best ever.
Greetings, Fife fans. Here you are. Here we are. Another week of In the Squared Circle with Felipe León here on the Leave It in the Ring network of David Dueñas. In the Squared Circle, your 30-minute or less fight recap, news recap, fight result recap here on the Leave It in the Ring network. We pride ourselves on giving you all the news, the notes, the fight results in the upcoming calendar in 30 minutes or less. Today is Super Bowl Sunday, and we're giving you all the news today on a nice, warm, almost nearly summer day here in Southern California / Northern Baja California. We are in Tijuana, Baja California, Norte, Mexico. That's where we record the show in the Squared Circle. And without any further ado, we're going to give you what has come up in news, notes, fight results, and upcoming fights here in the wonderful world of boxing.
Veremos quién es el más macho.
I was wondering.
The biggest news of not only this week, but perhaps the year so far, now that we're in the second year of February, is the announcement by Golden Boy Promotions. And Golden Boy Promotions alone, no other promoter has been tied into this promotion, where Saul El Canelo Alvarez will be defending his WBC linear middleweight title against former champion Amir King Khan. Yes, the same Amir Khan that has not fought over the welterweight limit now will be challenging for the middleweight title of the world, according to the WBC, on Saturday, May 7th, at the new Las Vegas venue, the T-Mobile Arena, and live on HBO pay-per-view. Oscar La Hoya announced this last week around Tuesday, and you know, the whole wide world of the internet and boxing has been alive with discussion regarding this fight of why is Amir Khan, a welterweight, fighting for the middleweight title, the size difference. Oscar De La Hoya has tried to justify it, comparing the difference between him, his fight, and Manny Pacquiao. Everything that could have been said about this fight has been said. You could listen to the next round. Actually, the next round with Steve Kim and Gabriel Montoya has not touched bases on this yet, because they actually do their show on Monday, and this fight was announced on Tuesday. But I'm sure this coming Tuesday, you could catch them and all their opinion and their thoughts regarding this fight on the Leave It in the Ring network. But who did was actually the Leave It in the Ring show, the flagship show of our network, with David Dueñas and Gabriel Montoya and Angelo from Cheap Seats Boxing Podcast. And then they went in depth regarding this fight. What is my opinion? I think it's a travesty. I think the WBC is doing boxing and their organization a disservice by allowing a man that is ranked number one in the welterweight division and is the mandatory challenger to the champion in that division, Danny Swift Garcia, to jump up two weight divisions and challenge for the middleweight title. I don't know what the rules are, but as far as I know, you know, he's not even ranked in the middleweight division, and here he is challenging for that title. And it's the linear title, the same title that at one point was held by the great, marvelous Marvin Hagler, and now a welterweight has a chance to win that title. Not that there's anything wrong that it's a welterweight, but let's get a guy that's actually fought in the division before to challenge Canelo at the catchweight at 155 pounds, you know. One fight that is being talked about and is rumored that perhaps will be on the undercard of that night of May 7th. It's a pretty good scrap in the welterweight division, actually, between Argentinian Lucas the Machine Matisse and Mexican-American Southern California native Mauricio El Maestro Herrera. We all know that Mauricio El Maestro Herrera has gotten in some good fights. He's given a great battle against Ruslan Provodnikov. Great fight against Benavidez, Jose Benavidez, and actually is thought to have been in Danny Garcia in Puerto Rico. and now he will be matching himself up, hopefully, against Lucas Matisse, who's coming off a knockout loss to Victor Postol in a challenge for the vacant WBC light welterweight title. And that is one of the fights that is being spoken about regarding the undercard of Saul Canelo Alvarez against Mir Khan on May 7th, HBO pay-per-view. And cracks in the veneer as far as the announcement of the WBC a couple months ago that after Saul Canelo Alvarez won the title against Miguel Cotto, he and interim WBC middleweight champion Gennady Triple G Golovkin were given interim, opportunity to defend their title against a voluntary defense, and then they would have to meet each other in September, according to the World Boxing Council's president, Mauricio Suleiman. That is, if you follow boxing, you know that that is what has been going on.
You're serious?
But now it looks like there's some cracks in that whole veneer, because Abel Sanchez, the trainer of Gennady Golovkin, has stated that he does not believe that fight between his star pupil Golovkin and Saul Canelo Alvarez would happen in 2016, and he's looking for it to happen more in 2016. He is convinced that neither Canelo nor Oscar De La Hoya want to make that fight this year, and he's willing to wait until 2017, but he feels that the WBC must pull the title from El Canelo Alvarez like they mandated in their announcement a couple months ago of that fight. You know, that is interesting that Abel Sanchez has stated that they're willing to wait. You know, one thing that has stood in the way, or the one thing that they cannot agree to, even if they haven't started official negotiations, but they have been going back and forth in the press, is the weight. Canelo Alvarez has stated that he wants to stay at 155 pounds, the catchweight that he has created and has fought there two or three times. He feels that he has earned the right to request and to force his opponents to match him at the weight that he wants to fight at, just like he was had to do against Floyd Mayweather Jr. a couple years ago, where he had to go down to 152 pounds to face Floyd Mayweather Jr. He said that he followed what the guy at the time was the number one guy, who was Floyd Mayweather, what he asked for. And now Canelo feels that he's the number one guy, so he gets to dictate the weight. But this is the WBC middleweight title. You know, the limit is 160 pounds. Abel Sanchez has stated, along with the Gennady camp, that Canelo can come in at whatever weight he wants, but if they're going to be fighting for that title, Gennady Golovkin is going to come in at the limit of 160 pounds. So that is the biggest obstacle as of now in making that fight. Also, a couple weeks ago, Oscar De La Hoya came out with some ridiculous remarks, stating that if he had to make that fight at that moment, that he would look for a 90/10% split in favor of Canelo Alvarez as far as the purse was concerned. And that was just crazy talk, because there's no way that anybody, even if he wasn't Gennady Golovkin, would take that kind of split in facing El Canelo Alvarez. Yes, we understand that Canelo is the big seller. He's the one that has sold more pay-per-views than Gennady Golovkin. He's the one that has filled bigger stadiums than Gennady Golovkin. But Gennady Golovkin is not a slouch. He hasn't sold as many pay-per-views, but he has sold out the LA Forum, and he has filled up the Madison Square Garden. So he is no slouch, and the StubHub Center, actually. And he's no slouch, so he obviously deserves more than a 90-10 split in favor of Canelo. Former middleweight champion Kelly Pavlik, remember him, has been charged with assault for allegedly shooting a friend with an air rifle. The incident happened last August, and there's actually video of the incident, although I have not been able to find it on the internet. If convicted, the former middleweight champion can do about 6 months in jail. Kelly Pavlik was the last great white hope from Youngstown, Ohio, promoted by Top Rank Promotions, and he retired back in 2012. This week, a gang of four walked into a weigh-in held in Dublin, Ireland, and opened fire, hurting two and killing one. Obviously, the fight card was canceled. Looks like it was a war between two local gangs. And, you know, this type of violence does happen in other parts other than Tijuana. You know, everybody's like, oh, don't go to Tijuana, it's violent. Don't go to Tijuana, you're going to get killed. Don't go to Tijuana, you're going to get assaulted. But in 10 years that I have been covering the area, San Diego and Tijuana, for FightNews.com, nobody has ever walked into a weigh-in with a gun here in Tijuana, and much less open fire. So violence can happen anywhere. Looks like the PBC still has some life left, since they have announced an April 1st showdown between WBA light welterweight champion Adrian the Problem Broner and Brit Ashley Theophane on Spike TV. This fight has been talked about for quite a while, ever since shots were fired between Adrian Broner and his former quote-unquote big bro, Floyd Mayweather Jr., who's actually Theophane's promoter. Actually, Mayweather Jr. was the one that opened fire on this one, stating that Theophane had enough to beat Adrian Broner. I believe he made the comments after Adrian Broner lost to Sean Porter or somewhere around that area. And now the fight is actually going to be made. It's looking for a home as far as a venue. There has been talk that it might be in Southern Florida or Washington, D.C., where Adrian Broner has trained before. And also on the card will be Argenis Mendez against Robert Easter Jr. That, my friend, is the news for this week. And now we move along to the fight results from last weekend.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Friday night from Fantasy Springs Casino in Indio, California, on Estrella TV, hometown favorite and former bantamweight IBF champion Randy Caballero began his run now at the super bantamweight division, dropping Mexico City's Ruben Garcia twice in the seventh. Garcia refused to answer the bell for the eighth round in a scheduled 10-rounder. In the semi-main event, Frankie Pitbull Gomez actually made the welterweight, and dominated Silverio El Chamaco Ortiz, also in Mexico City, over 10 rounds to take the unanimous decision with scores of 193 times. Other results on the card was lightweight Hector Tanahara got a unanimous decision over Clay Burns. Rocco Santomoro got a gift of unanimous decision over Tijuana Jose Estrella. And Shane Mosley Jr. got the unanimous decision over Azamat Umarzoda. In Ensenada, Baja California, Mexico, on Saturday night, broadcast live on Azteca TV and BN Sports, 19-year-old welterweight Carlos Ocampo stopped Charlie Navarro of Venezuela in 6 rounds. Actually, I was there in Ensenada. I drove down there. It's about an hour and a half away from Tijuana. And I went down, and this Chema Ocampo, I've been present for a lot of his fights, and this kid is coming along. You know, he's a little bit rough around the edges, but he has a lot of power. He hits pretty hard. He's coming off a big unanimous decision win over much more experienced Jorge El Maromerito Paez Jr., and now he stopped this Charlie Navarro, pretty tough Venezuelan that has faced the likes of Jorge Maromero Paez Jr., Thomas Delorme, and a couple other guys, and this guy was able to stop him with a vicious body shot in the sixth round. The guy didn't get up for the 10 count. Then actually, when he made it back to his corner, he had to get checked out by the doctor because he was still in pain, and he also went down to the canvas in the third round from a right hook to right above the ear, kind of lost his balance and went down. So this Chema Ocampo, Carlos El Chema Ocampo, he's a young Mexican fighter to keep an eye on for all you guys that are into that and want to see who the next Mexican star is. Well, I'm not saying that Carlos Ocampo is, but you might want to check him out. Check him out on YouTube, Carlos El Chema Ocampo, only 19 years old. He's about 18-0 with 12 knockouts. And at bantamweight, Jose Cayetano, Tigre Cayetano, if you remember him, he was the guy that gave Leo Santa Cruz all he can handle on the undercard of Mayweather Pacquiao back in May. Took a majority decision over Roberto Escorpion Pucheta in 10 rounds. That was a majority decision. Also on Televisa the same night from Mexico City, super flyweight Juan Churrito Hernandez stopped Jesus Silvestre in 2, and Mariana the Barbie Juarez retained her WBC super flyweight international title with a unanimous decision over Florida's Noemi Bosquez, with 190 cards in all three of them, 100-90 in 10 rounds. This was a much anticipated female fight from Mexico City, and Mariana Juarez controlled the action fairly well and fairly easily. I actually watched the fight on TV, and it was a pretty good scrap. Noemi Bosquez tried to do what she could, but Mariana Juarez was simply more skilled. And in Puerto Rico, the same night on Saturday night from Caguas, Puerto Rico, Abner Cotto stopped Edwin Lopez in one, and lightweight Alberto Machado also stopped in one. Tecate's Jose Luis Tapitas Araiza. And that is all the results. Pretty slow boxing weekend this last weekend. So now we're going to go to the upcoming calendar.
I'm real champion.
Tuesday, February 9th from the on Fox Sports 1 and King's Promotion. But we all know who's behind this King's Promotion on Fox Sports 1. Lightweight Jamel Herring will go against Luis Eduardo Flores over 10 rounds. On Saturday, February 13th on Televisa, Promociones del Pueblo will feature featherweight Andres Gutierrez, 33-0, Andres El Jaguarcito Gutierrez against Manuel Dionisio Echenique. You might want to check this Andres Jaguarcito Gutierrez. He's been fighting for quite a while. He's 33-0. He has not made the jump into the U.S., I believe, and he doesn't get a lot of press, but he's coming along. He's undefeated in 33 fights at a good division featherweight. So he's someone to maybe take a look at to maybe making a jump into the U.S. or into a major American fight card pretty soon. And on the semi main event of that, super middleweight Marco Antonio Peribán, who was being touted as a possible Andre Ward opponent, but now he's not, will be facing Jose Miguel Torres. That's on Saturday night on Televisa. And also on Saturday night, February 13th, on Unimas and presented by Top Rank, welterweight Alex Salcedo will face Clarence Booth, and welterweight Andy Vences from Northern California will face Yardley Suarez. And that, my friends, is your upcoming calendar. And like I promised, like we have stated, what has been the MO of In the Squared Circle in so far 7 episodes, this is our 7th episode, is that we give you all the news and the notes, all the fight results and the upcoming calendar in 30 minutes or less. We're actually cutting it to 20 minutes or less, but sometimes we might have a little bit more to talk about. This is a slow week in boxing, but there is some news, and now we have cut it pretty short at under 20 minutes. This is has been the latest episode of In the Squared Circle on the Leave It in the Ring Network. We have come to the end. We thank you, all our faithful followers. We've been getting a lot of response, and we appreciate it. So if you like to listen to more of In the Squared Circle, it's every week on Tuesday on the Leave It in the Ring Network. It's being posted on there. You could also find me on Boxeo Tijuana TV. That's our Spanish YouTube show, live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. with my partner Renzo Novara and our producer Leonzo Nunez. That's on Boxeo Tijuana TV. You can find us at boxeotijuana.com/TV or on our Boxeo Tijuana podcast, which you can find on iTunes and Google Play. Also on Leave It in the Ring Network. On Monday nights, we have the next round with Steve Kim, Gabriel Montoya. Like I mentioned, In the Squared Circle, it's every Tuesday, and every Wednesday, Leave It in the Ring Network at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And then I also believe that on Thursdays now we have a basketball podcast. I'm not exactly sure what the name of the show is. Like I mentioned at the beginning, I don't really watch a lot of football. I don't watch a lot of sports. I just pretty much mainly concentrate on boxing. But I thank you, my friends, for listening to another episode of In the Squared Circle. And we have come to the end. Until next week. Goodbye, everybody. Yeah, just forget the wins. It's the best of years. Won't you follow me into the jungle?
in the back. Backstreet Boys in the